Oh God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the scriptures, and we are thankful for these stories within the Bible that gives us different ideas and perspectives about how to improve our lives, how to live differently. We pray that we would take in your word, continue to chew on them and digest them, that they may be helpful and useful for us in the future. So may all that we say and do be glorifying to you. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past week, Marlou and I had an interesting experience at home. Our bathtub was clogging up. Have any of you had any plumbing problems recently? Yes? Well, what we did was we called the plumber. And he came and he brought this little hand crank snake with him. So he put it through the clean out in the bathtub. You know, the bathtub has a little metal piece. He took out, put the snake in, and began to crank away. And at the end of the line, he found something because it got kind of stalled. And so when he pulled it out, he found a root and he found some wipes. So we're happy and we're hopeful, and it says it is solved. So when they are finished with that, they fill up the tub. You know, they clog the drain, they fill it up with water, about that much water, and then they let it go to test it. Well, it was draining and it's sounding really good until the water slowed and it stalled. So he didn't solve the problem. And the plumber didn't have the heavy equipment needed to find what he was looking for or to deal with the clog. His conclusion was it wasn't just the pipes near the bathtub, but it must be a main line problem. We had had this problem before where we needed someone else to come and go on the roof. And then there's this vent. And so he brought this big old monster snake, and thick around. And so he had to put it through the vent and to go down and snake it that way. But he had come before and he said, you know what, you're going to have to keep doing this. So you might as well put in a clean out on the ground level, because if we have to keep going on the roof, it could damage your roof and it could damage your pipes. So this heavy duty plumber said, you might want to spend the money and put in a clean out on ground level outside your house. So we said, okay. Then he said, let me crawl underneath your house to find the main line, because when you put a clean out, you have to know which way the water goes into the main line and into the sewer, out into the street, I guess, or underneath. So he's under the house and he finds it and he locates it. And so he comes back out, and our, you know, underneath our house, there's this crawl space about 2 feet height, right? So he says, I need to go and get parts. And I need to get a different truck, and another guy needs to come and help. So they go, and they come back, and they start digging. And they dig for about 2 hours. Finally, they run into the pipe, and they say, aha, this is it. Then the one guy says, you know, I'm not sure this is it. It might be the old pipe that goes into a cesspool, or it might be a pipe that goes into a septic tank. And what was even more puzzling was there's this cement slab on top of the pipe. So they dig another hour. They dig another foot deep. So now the pipe is in clear view. And then they discover that the slab is not this big old slab, but it's just a covering to part of the pipe. So the one guy is guessing that this is where the reverse valve opening is. So, but they're not sure. They say, I'm not sure if this is the pipe. They don't see any moisture because our house was built like in World War II time. So the pipe is cast iron. So they cannot hear water in the pipe. So they said, go and flush your toilet. See if we can hear the water going through. And they can't hear it. The only way, and I thought of this, you know, I said, the only way is maybe to go back underneath the house. And I was pretty proud of myself for thinking of that because I didn't learn that in seminary, you know. So I said, you know, maybe you guys should go back under the house to find where the pipe is. And so they said, well, you know what? Since it's your idea, we invite you to do it. And I graciously declined. That was not my skill set. So they went under the house, and then the guy said, you know, where you guys are digging, it's not over there, it's over here. So 3 feet away, after they had been digging for 3 hours. And then the guy outside, you know, when he's under the house, there's this little peep vent, and it has like the mesh, can't see him. He said, no, it has to be there. So the guy says, why don't you dig a little bit under that pipe and see if you can see if it leads to this pipe. And he says, okay, so he digs for a while and he says, aha, there's moisture. This is a pipe. And so he's on the other side of the wall and we're on the other side and he says, is this a pipe? And the guy on the other side says, I don't know because we can't see you and we can't hear. So they keep digging until finally, he taps the pipe from the one side, and we can hear it, and we can feel the vibration of the pipe, and they said, aha, that's it. So they do the surgery. They cut out that pipe, and of course, it's, you know, because it's that old, it weighs like 100 pounds, this piece of pipe, which is that big, and replace it. It took the whole day. Now I'm $1,300 poorer. But it could have been worse. It could have cost more. Or there could have been damage in the house. But they finally found what they're looking for. In our gospel lesson this morning, the scripture is about knowing what you're looking at and what you're looking for. John the Baptist knows what he's looking at. He says, look, this is the Son of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. John knows it. How does he know? Well, it says in the scripture that John didn't recognize him at first, but then he saw like a dove coming down, resting upon Jesus. And so there's a voice that says, here is the one that you are to baptize. God said to him, he is the one. Now, how is John able to hear it? How is John able to see it? Well, it's because John was in some great fellowship with God. He was in tune with God. He was connected. He was focused. John was called, and he's faithful, and he's serving. And that's part of the prerequisite of being able to recognize God's Spirit moving and to see Jesus. And the scripture then calls us to question in ourselves, are we in tune with God? Are we so connected, so focused? Has God called us to serve in a certain way? And have we been taking seriously that call? Have we been faithful to the call? Have we been responding and living it? Or are we so distracted? Are we so misdirected? Are we confused? Are we really living in the stream of the Spirit and the flow of fellowship? Or is our hearts and our minds clouded and our conscience clogged up? It is when we have the clarity that we experience God's revelation and inspiration and the epiphanies. When our spiritual pathways are free and clear, when our spiritual passages are unobstructed. so that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of compassion and grace and mercy and acceptance and forgiveness and openness is running through our veins and our arteries. It should be freeing and liberating, and then spilling over into that, we experience joy and contentment and fulfillment. And that's how John the Baptist must have felt. Now, John the Baptist, his life wasn't easy. There were people who were suspicious of him, people who questioned him and skeptical of him. There were negative people, there were naysayers. He may have had some bad vibes or even some hate in his face from the self-righteous people. But that didn't matter to him. It didn't affect him. It didn't deter him from serving and from his focus and his faith. Because John the Baptist had risen above that. John the Baptist had transcended their negativity, and John the Baptist had become transparent. He was serving God, and now he was privileged to be God's vessel for this great miracle, supernatural event. In other words, because of his faith and focus and devotion, God blessed him. And the blessing wasn't material. The blessing wasn't adoration and praise, social status. His blessing was to be in communion with God, to be at peace with God, connected with God, the Spirit, and with the Lord. And that surpasses any other blessing. And that's why John knew what was in front of him. And he was knew what he was facing. There's no doubt that he embraced the call. He embraced Christ Jesus. He embraced what was happening. So John is preaching and he is proclaiming, look, here he is. Here's the Son of God, the Lamb of God. And as he is preaching, Jesus is there, and Jesus turns to two disciples and he says this. He says, what are you looking for? Do you know what you are looking for? Now the disciples, are they in tune with the Spirit? Are they well connected? Are they in communion? Are they focused? Are they living in the stream of the Spirit? Are they in good fellowship? Are their hearts and minds unclouded and unshrouded and unobstructed? Well, the answer is no. You say, well, how do you know? Well, Jesus asked them the question, do you know what you're looking for? And they don't answer the question. So obviously they hadn't heard Jesus' question, or they were not listening. What are you looking for? And you know what their response is? They say, Rabbi, where are you staying? Now, Rabbi is not, we're looking for the Lamb of God. We're looking for the Son of God. We're looking for you. They think that he is some other teacher. So they say, Rabbi, where are you staying? Jesus says, well, come along and see. The Greek word for staying has a deeper meaning. It's the implication of more than, Rabbi, where are you sleeping tonight? The word, the Greek word is meno, which has to do with dwelling, abiding, living. It has to do with an enduring and lasting presence. Like the implication being to Jesus, what is the core of your existence? What is the constituency? Or as Paul Tillich, the historian, would say, where is the ground of your being? That's the implication. And Jesus answers them, well, you have to come and see for yourself. If I were to use the earthy plumber language, Jesus would say, dig deeper. Investigate, examine, get at the root. Go beneath the surface to find what you are looking for. Come with me, stay with me, dwell with me, abide with me. In other words, you have to come and experience for yourself. Take the time, do the diligence, make the sacrifice, Do the hard work that is required, and you will find out. You will discover, you will uncover what is needed and what you need and what you're looking for. The disciples, they agree, they consent, they commit. In a way, they're saying, we don't know what we're looking for. We don't know how to articulate what we're looking for. We don't even know what to ask. But we're willing to follow. We're willing to be open. We're available, and we want to experience what you have for us. We want that blessing. We want abundant life. We want a new way of living and being. I firmly believe, and I'm convinced, that my plumbing problem is a metaphor for my life this week. God needed to clear the blockage. You know what happened that night? I had a serious case of the runs. It kept me up all night, and I had to flush the toilet, I'm not kidding you, at least 10 times. And if that had not been cleared, God had a weird sense of humor, but God had good timing, right? Even though I had to pay $1,300 for this, it was worth it. Praise be to God. But God may be saying to us, I need to clear things out of you so that you can learn something, so that you can experience something new, something profound, something powerful, something spirit-filled. You know what the disciples said at the end of the passage? They said, we found him. We found the Messiah. So in the end, they found a new way to live, a new path, a new direction, a new vision for the future. And God is saying that to us too. Are you willing to be available? Are you being willing to be open? Are you willing to come and see? Are you willing to experience? Come and see, and I have power and inspiration and a way of life for you. Are you willing? Amen.